Our weekly fantasy sports podcasts are back here on Breakfast of Bens. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, best fantasy analyst in the business, best fantasy website in the business. He joins us now, as he always has, not only for football, but for baseball, coming to you on opening day. Baseball is underway. Jeff, great to catch up with you again after a brief hiatus after football ended. How did your baseball drafts go, and how many leagues are you in to start this year?
I think I'm around 20. I actually have one on Monday night, but that's just because of scheduling reasons. Usually we don't do it in season. Had my last of my big ones last night.
How'd it go? Did you find any different trends, any different circumstances with how teams were built, especially given the stolen base component? So many people expecting stolen bases to be up. In fact, I think there was something like a 50% rise in spring training. Did that come into play with drafting players?
Sure. It did a little bit. The other thing that I've noticed is just a push in starting pitching. As we, the later we get, we see starters go down. Got another whammy today in Justin Verlander, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time a starting pitcher gets hurt, we all panic and push the next three guys up a little bit more. And it happens every year. And so you have to adjust, you have to plan for it. You have to decide, are you going to participate in that said pushing? Or are you going to take the values, and who, if you take the values, who are your targets later? Because you can't go without pitching. We can't just get rid of it, but as much as we'd like to sometimes.
How did you approach that strategy?
More often than not, I tried to value take and try to like go by volume in the teens of my round. So the big draft that I do is part of the National Fantasy Baseball Championship. We like to call it the NFBC. It's called the main event. There's a $200,000 overall grand prize for the overall contest, but you can win prizes in your league. It's 15 teams. It's a tough draft. It's a tough league. It's hard to kind of get ahead of it. So what I like to do in that is to go volume in the teens, like picks 11 through 20, 11 through 19, get a bunch of starting pitchers, then only go with like three in the first 10.
How about that stolen base component? Who did you see would qualify as getting helium as a result of stolen bases likely going up? And how did you approach that strategy? How will you on Monday for your draft coming up?
I'll definitely prioritize it more. A guy that I did not get any shares of in my 20-plus leagues is Anthony Volpe. He was maybe the trendiest guy in the last 2 weeks. Often going like the fifth or sixth round now in drafts. Already has a stolen base. Stole base today against the Giants. Aaron Judge is homered against the Giants.
Yeah, at the time that we're speaking, Gerrit Cole has struck out 8 of the first 9 batters that he's faced. Aaron Judge has a homer. I expect plenty of that from both those guys this year, don't you?
Yep, and it's a little poetic that he's doing against the Giants, since the Giants are the ones that tried to poach Judge. And according to John Heyman, had signed him. Of course, he also said Arson Judge too. So I actually saw someone wearing a jersey saying Arson Judge at the Yankees game. So someone who is very online came up with that one there.
Well, not only that, but didn't the Yankees, upon his home run, tweet out, call the FDNY?
Oh,
did you
wow.
See that?
I did not see that. That's amazing.
Fire flames. Yeah.
I was on air at the time, so I didn't see that. But
that was
that's
a nice
awesome
little touch by them.
Yeah.
So since we've last spoken, Jeff, we know that Andrew McCutchen is now a Pittsburgh Pirate again. Actually, we might have talked before that happened. I'm kind of going back in time here and trying to remember one way or another. But Andrew McCutchen is a Pittsburgh Pirate again. O'Neill Cruz, everybody here in Pittsburgh counting on him having a big season. How about Pirates in your fantasy drafts? Where did you see guys going high? Where was Cruz going? What were people doing with McCutchen, if anything?
Sure.
Give me a little scouting report of what you've seen trends wise when it comes to fantasy drafts and some Pirate players.
So obviously Cruz was the first guy to go. Brian Reynolds is a second. Cruz is a trendy guy. He's a volatile guy though. You know, he's struck out a lot, but he also does take a few walks. He also has such hard hit rates, great speed. It's tantalizing. They already got some bad news with Brubaker. He may not even pitch at all this year. McCutchen's a guy who goes in the 300s or so. He goes in every draft, but he's kind of a depth sort of guy. You know, checking that Pirates lineup today, you see a couple surprises. Like, who is that guy?
Njigba?
Yes, exactly. You know, it's like, oh, wait, that's the wide receiver from Ohio State. No, that's his brother and all that. But he, you know, he is speaking of stolen bases, maybe he's a guy that's a source for us there if he continues to get playing time.
How about Cabrian Hayes? Anybody buying into him?
Yeah, a lot of people are. I've seen some reports on him working on improving his launch angle, try to get more lift on the ball, because that's the thing that's held him back a lot. He hasn't hit for power yet in the big league level, but for that little stretch in the 2020 half season. But for the most part, you know, we need to see that next stretch, and maybe there's some enthusiasm for that now.
This is more of a gambling related angle, Jeff, but one story I wrote about in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, a lot of people here in Pittsburgh picked up on it. The amount of people who were gambling on the Pirates to hit their over win total, it came in at 61 to start, and they were the most bet upon team to hit the over in all of baseball. And it got up to 67.5 and leveled out there. Are you buying that? And I think a lot of part of the reason why people are buying that they could be a 65 to 70 win team, 67 to 72 win team, is because the division isn't going to be very good. Your Reds are in the division. Do you buy that logic with the Pirates, and where do you think they can top out?
I buy the logic that the division is down. The Reds are down for sure. The Brewers, low-key, had a pretty bad offseason. Starting at last year's trade deadline when they traded away Hader, and the reaction to that, see how they collapsed down the stretch last year. Then they traded away Hunter Renfro for another prospect. They didn't really do any big ads. You know, they traded Colton Wong for Jesse Winker. That's kind of a trade off there. They've got some kids in that lineup this year. We'll see about the Brewers. But they're a smart organization, but you know, when the owner doesn't release the purse strings, you get that sort of thing. Are they going to make a move at the deadline? Probably not. Not a big move. So if you look at it from that vantage point, you know, you can see why, okay, maybe there's more opportunities for the Pirates. I mean,
how about your Reds? Are the Reds going to be better than the Pirates, significantly better than the Pirates? Where do you have their win total?
I think they'll be fun. I think they have a fun farm system. Hunter, and you know, some of these guys at the big league level are already there, like Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo. Graham Ashcraft was throwing 100 this spring and was actually missing bats, something that's been missing in his profile before. So there might be reason for hope for him. It's such a cynical franchise too. They go out and they get Will Myers to be this year's Brandon Drury, they hope. We'll see. Maybe the ballpark will help make him a better ball player there a little bit, and they can flip him. That's kind of their goal. They've got tons of shortstop and third base prospects throughout the system. And you have a shortstop, you can pretty much play him anywhere. That's the idea. That's the notion behind this here. There's reason that you could be interested. You could have some hope, but honestly, at the end of the day, I don't think that their rotation's deep enough. I don't think that their bullpen's all that great.
Any lefty hitters go higher than they did a year ago, or go higher than maybe they otherwise would have because of the shift being banned?
Oh yeah. Corey Seager is a great example of that. Someone who was hurt by the shift more than anybody else in baseball last year. He's going higher. Obviously, he was getting drafted everywhere last year, but he's now going fourth round, even though he doesn't, he doesn't run at all. And so we're talking about the importance of speed. Well, if you're going to go Seager in the fourth, that means you got to find some speed elsewhere. There's always that trade-off, right?
Jeff, before we wrap up on baseball, I'm going to ask you this from a position player's perspective and from a pitcher's perspective as well. But give me one guy that you saw go a lot earlier than you expected on a regular basis, and give me a guy that you're higher on than the rest of the industry tends to be.
Okay. A couple of guys that I think went higher than I expected. Jared Kelnick, because of his spring training, you know, kept on going higher and higher. I think that he's one of those guys that was going to go in the 300s, but then had a great spring. One of my guys is Jeffrey Springs. I'm big on him. Pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. But man, everybody else was high on him too. Oh, I used to get him around pick 175. You know, he's your guy? No, he's everybody's guy. He's going
around the diamond in everybody's rough, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And it's like, well, I didn't get him in any of my three NFBC main events because everybody else was high on him too. And that's what I'm talking about with the pitching getting pushed up. We all have our little pet guys that we thought we could get. And then reality intervenes. You're like, no, you're not going to get that guy. Nope, you're not going to get him either. Same thing is true with Jake Fraley, a guy that I think is going to do nicely for the Reds. He started getting a little pricier. And so that happens. It's always the old and boring guys that fall. Andrew McCutchen, you mentioned him earlier, going in the 300s. My rankings have him higher than that, but he never goes that high. Justin Turner, another example of a guy batting in the middle of that Red Sox lineup. But nobody's like, oh, yes, I got Justin Turner in my draft. But he's going to hit for average. He's in the middle of a lineup and a good hitting park for righties.
All right, Jeff, let's get to some football notes since we haven't spoken since free agency opened up. The Steelers, I'll begin with them. Nothing all that dynamic in terms of, you know, fantasy type players. They're pretty much set when it comes to quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, running back. They weren't going to make any big splashes there. But they did try to shore up the run game on both sides of the ball by getting inside linebackers and getting some good run blocking guards. You know, if you see the Steelers do that and talk as openly as they're talking about still using the run game to support Kenny Pickett, do you maybe elevate Najee Harris a little bit?
Sure, why not? Especially by the way they played at the end of the season last year. Harris looked healthy by the end of the year. Pickett was an effective game manager. I mean, it was quite a comeback to get a winning record. I got to say, it wasn't the greatest Steelers season, but it might have been one of Mike Tomlin's better coaching jobs.
How about on the defensive side of the ball? They got a couple of run stoppers in Roberts and Holcomb. The way that translates into fantasy, if they can get off the field more quickly, then it's a chance for that very, very limited Steelers offense, which hopefully will be less limited next year, to spread its wings some and score a few more points. I specifically hope that means something for Pickens as well.
Yeah, I mean, those two Baltimore-Pittsburgh games already look like they're going to be in the muck. I mean, given the drama that's going on with Lamar right now, seeing what we had at the end of the season last year in that game, expect more of the same.
How about Lamar? How's the fantasy world reacting to this?
What a mess. I've got the popcorn gif, as I'm sure you do as a Steelers guy as well.
Right.
Just sitting there watching Baltimore trying to navigate that. You know, if you remember the movie Naked Gun, there's Frank Drebin, who the detective standing in front of the fireworks factory exploding, saying, please disperse. Nothing to see here. That's John Harbaugh talking about Lamar Jackson right now. He keep on saying positive things, but it's just all hell's breaking loose behind him there.
If the Rodgers thing comes to fruition in New York, how do you think that'll go with the Jets? And how do you think Love will do with the Packers?
Love's going to be up against it, but this needs to happen for them. They need to move on. They need to play Love or trade him, one of the two. He needs to play. He looked competent in mop-up duty against the Eagles on that Sunday night game, so I'd like to see a little bit more out of him. We'll see what else they do and what they get in the package, which seems to be dwindling over time, about what they're possibly going to get from the Jets. If you're a Jets fan, hopefully this isn't Brett Favre 2.0, at least
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly. at the same time, the Jets, they have to get Rodgers or Lamar, one of the two. Otherwise, it's just a disaster of an offseason for them, because they made this whole point about improving at quarterback. They made all these other moves. They go out and sign Alan Lazard at the behest of Rodgers, basically. They don't pull off this trade, they're going to be a lot of egg on their face.
Jeff, what can people get at RotoWire now that baseball season is underway? And in terms of off-season football study, what can they look for?
I mean, we're constantly cranking out the content on the baseball side. You know, draft season's done, but our daily lineups tool is invaluable. We have breaking news at the start of games today with Justin Verlander going on the IL. You know, go pick up Tyler McGill. If he's going to start in his place, he might get a number of starts there. We're going to be watching a lot of closing situations early in this week. So it is really hyper important this week in particular to watch bullpens, see how they're used. There's going to be a lot of free agent bids this weekend that are going to be based off of that. Football, we have a Dynasty podcast every week that's out there. Lots of good notes, a lot of pre-draft rankings, a lot of draft coverage, obviously. You guys can check it all out for free. Take a peek behind the paywall. RotoWire.com/free will get you there. No credit cards required. You just enter the address there, put in a valid email address, and off you go.
Jeff, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it. We'll be tracking you all year long to see your fantasy baseball coverage and the offseason too for football. We'll talk plenty about the draft coming up as well in upcoming weeks. Good to have you back.
Always a pleasure, Tim. Good talking with you.